barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting. I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did.
Braxton Miller's loose spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world.
He'll run it after the 10, 15, 20. 25, 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45. There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Lucky for me, the press can barely speak English.
But they are who we thought they were.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson. And he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
Well, then get the fuck out of here, then. Okay, see ya.
It is Friday, September 30th. Welcome to Menace to Sports. I am Zach Smith, your host, with my co-host, Chris Drew. We are here to talk all things college football. Zero viewers. That can't be right.
No, it'll load up.
It'll load up. Come on, YouTube or StreamYard. Get your shit going. There we go. We are here to talk about all things Ohio State Buckeyes. It is also a Super Chat Friday. Any question you have, anything you want to talk about, if you super chat it, we will put it on the show and discuss. Looking forward to a lively chat. And just so you know, all proceeds, all super chats in yesterday's show and today's show are going to get donated to Hurricane Ian Relief, the fund or whatever they have down in Florida. Mm-hmm. I still haven't looked up what the name of it is, but every penny of super chats is going down there. So any super chat that you send gets donated. And we're excited about it because Chris raised over $700 in super chats to shave his eyebrow. I bet you we can do better than that on a Super Chat Friday here on Menace to Sports. But I meant to play this yesterday. You might have already seen it went viral. I don't care. We're going to start this show off the right way and teach you a life lesson from some viral TikTok. So here it is. We'll try that again. I don't know what just happened.
About how we can find out and how much we can find out and what it takes to get there. So first we have to decide how much do we want to find out. So let's say in this case, I want to find out at a level of 7. Okay, so I find that level on my graph and I come horizontally to my gradient line. Where it intersects with my gradient line, I'm going to come straight down to where it intersects with my fuck around line. That there is going to tell me how much I have to fuck around to find out what I need to find out. See, as you can see, the more you fuck around, the more you're going to find out. And also, if you stay down here and you never fuck around, you'll never find out. So I hope this lesson is helpful. Thank you.
Oh, the classic fuck around and find out and the correlation between the two. And that's how I live my life. Fuck around and find out. People talk all this shit. And it's like, hey, fuck around and find out. Mm-hmm. Come find out. Whatever you think. Come find out.
I don't talk any shit, so I don't find out. I'm cooling.
I don't talk shit, really. I respond.
Yeah, you are the find out. Okay, that's fair.
Yes. I want to find out. Mm-hmm. Chris, how are you on this fine Friday?
I'm great, man. I got my little Menace chain on. Spending my YouTube checks accordingly. No thanks to Josh Gattis. But I'm feeling great, man. Happy to be happy on a Friday. I watched the game last night. That was quite something, obviously, a spectacle. And a lot of stuff that obviously went down. And then tomorrow, of course, will be week 5 of college football. So everybody better tighten up. It's just starting to get some deep waters.
I'm curious because last night there was obviously just a scary scene with Tua Tagovailoa getting a concussion and his hands getting all fucked up. And you could tell he was obviously, he got as Smokey says in Friday, like you got knocked the fuck out, like bad deal. And people have asked me if I've seen anything like that. And Tim Tebow got knocked out against Kentucky in a very similar fashion. And it's terrifying. It really is. And just awful to see, especially I guess it doesn't matter if it's a good person or not, but Tua seems like such a great person, great kid. You just hate to see it. So I'm curious your thoughts, because I'm going to discuss it here. Where do you lay the blame in this? Do you blame the Dolphins medical staff, who the head trainer is a good friend of mine. He was a GA trainer at Florida when I was a GA. And wow. I mentioned this. Yeah, his name's Kyle Johnston. He's a good friend of mine. I haven't talked to him in years, but he was a really good friend of mine when I was at Florida. We went out all the time. His wife and my wife were really good friends. But where does the blame lie? Where do you shift? Where do you put the blame? Do you put the blame on the Dolphins medical staff? Do you put the blame on the NFL, whatever the NFL independent doctor, right? The neurologist that Tua had to meet with and get checked out by that cleared him. Because just so we're clear, the team can't clear a player that is in concussion protocol. The NFL made it a rule where there's an independent neurologist that comes in and has to clear that player to avoid a team forcing a kid back in to play a game, right? That's why they did it. So this neurologist cleared him and he went out to play. And the other side of this is when it comes to concussion testing, there's not a lot of like brainwave testing or MRI stuff where you can really see a concussion. It's not great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not that high level science. It's mostly questionnaire based. I mean, they ask the kid about his pain level, headache level, sensitivity to light. And a kid can flat lie either way. I've seen it both ways. I've seen kids that, you know, for a fact, don't have a concussion. You watch the hit, you see the hit. You're like, that there's no way that kid got a concussion, but they end up out 2 to 3 weeks because they don't want to practice. It's really hard, whatever reason. And so they come in, they're like, yeah, I still have a headache. And it's like, well, he's still 7 days out. Then 2 days later, like, yeah, I still have an headache. And the goalposts keep moving back for when they're going to come back to play. So is Tua to blame? I mean, that's a fair question. I know he got hurt. I know it was awful. You feel sorry for him. But if he wasn't forthcoming with his symptoms, you can't blame the doctor and you can't blame the Dolphins. You can only blame him and his – you could blame it on his competitive nature. But at the same time, what are they supposed to do? So I'm curious your thoughts in the chat. Who's to blame here? Because we watched that hit on Sunday, right? And I'll tell you the biggest problem here, the biggest problem of all of this is there's literally nothing safe about playing a football game on Sunday, 3 days off, and turning around and playing another football game on Thursday. It's entirely unnecessary. It was the NFL trying to create another Monday Night Football, another revenue stream. And that's the only reason we have Thursday Night Football. And in my opinion, the only way you should play on Thursday is if you had a bye the week before. There's no way you should have a 3-day turnaround and have to play again. I think that's the biggest issue that I have with all of this. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Well, it's tricky because if he gets cleared by this independent NFL doctor and he goes to Miami and says, I've been cleared by the independent NFL doctor, who is the Miami training staff to tell him, no, he can't play? And then if they clear him, and people want to blame Mike McDaniels as well, if Mike McDaniels doesn't play him, he gets a call from the owner, hey, why is Tua not playing? He's been cleared.
Yeah, can you imagine if they lost it because Mike McDaniels didn't let Tua play when a doctor cleared him?
Exactly. Like, and he's a first-time head coach, a first-year first-time head coach. And the Dolphins owner has done some messed-up stuff, kind of well-documented in the last year anyway with getting rid of coaches.
And here's the other story, a possibility that no one wants to talk about. Maybe it's true. Maybe it was a back injury on Sunday and he just got a bad concussion on Thursday and they're completely unrelated. No one will talk about that, but that's possible. I don't think it is. I don't think it's real, but that is a possibility here.
I definitely think he got a concussion last week and then playing 3 or 4 days later is.
Oh, I definitely think that's the case. But my point is, it is possible that that's not the case. And there's no medical documentation. There's no way for us to know, right, if he actually got a concussion on Sunday. Now, I think he did, but that's neither here nor there. But the moral story is that the blame has to fall somewhere. And if he did get a concussion and an independent neurologist cleared him, that is on the independent neurologist. And the most cryptic shit ever was that one MD that tweeted before the game, you know, Tua should not be playing this game. If he gets a second concussion, there's going to be extreme liability at the NFL's level. Like, Tua could sue for probably hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And CTE is a real thing. It's something to be to be aware of and honestly afraid of. I just think this was an epic failure by the process. And you know what I really think? I think the independent doctor is a fucking dumb idea because you literally rendered the Miami Dolphins training staff powerless because some random fucking guy that doesn't know Tua, a lot of it is, do you know the kid? At Ohio State, the trainers and the team doctors, they make that call because the trainers are with these kids every day. So they can tell if something's not right, a little off with a kid, and they'll pull them out. These trainers are overly sensitive. Like, if it's the slightest possibility that kid has a concussion, he's out. He's out. He's not playing. Because one, they care about him. They have a relationship with him. And two, they know them. And I promise you, Kyle Johnston probably went into that game sick to his stomach before the concussion, like, fuck, I hope nothing happens. Because he has a relationship with Tua Tagovailoa. And whether he knew something was off or not, he cared about him and he didn't mm-hmm. want him this to happen. So I think that independent doctor bullshit is just it's a CYA cover your ass nonsense red tape deal that an organization like the NFL has. And I think I think it's awful for players.
Yeah, no, this is a really bad situation. And it happened on national television, making it even worse. And that tweet that came out before the game, that felt like a time traveler, because I saw that tweet before the game. And as soon as it happened, I was like, oh, my God, like this is what he was referring to. And it was the first real hit that Tua took. Definitely kind of overshadowing, a Thursday night game, Burrow versus Tua, obviously. Von Bell had two picks. I know it's not really important considering what we're talking about, but he's a baller. And obviously the Bengals went on to win the game. It was super unfortunate. And obviously like fingers crossed for Zach. I mean, for Tua, excuse me. I just read Zach on the screen is all.
Like, damn, fuck, what's going to happen to me?
Say, so what's it fuck me for?
Right. Like, Jesus, I'm not going outside now. I'm going to get hit by mm-hmm. a car.
Yeah, definitely playing for Tua. I really don't think he'll play this season, Zach. Like, I think he's out for the season.
There's no doubt. I also think there is something to be said because that was a legit concussion. We know that, right? Mm-hmm. For him to jump on the airplane, I mean, all these medical professionals are coming out now talking about how dangerous it is to fly that immediate after having a concussion because your brain is swollen. That's what a concussion is. It's a swollen brain. You go change of altitude. That's not good for your brain. Mm-mm. I mean, a couple of doctors were saying you should literally wait 10 days before you jump on an airplane again. And it's just, I don't know, man. That's scary.
The NFL was rushing to get him back to Miami. That's the weirdest part of it. Like, they did everything they could to make sure he was on that plane back to Miami. And you know, the way the NFL works, like, you know, it's super unfortunate, but the way the power structure goes, like, the Miami Dolphins training staff is going to catch the blame for this because the NFL will not catch the blame for it. And the
reality
coming
is,
hours.
Mm-hmm. The NFL, to me, is the more likely corrupt organization that said, damn, Thursday Night Football ratings, we need Tua to play. Like, I could see that happening at an NFL level. I like, although teams want to win more than mm-hmm. than NFL, I mean, I teams want to win. So that's, they try to take that shadiness of putting a player on the field for the sake of winning. But I honestly believe, at least I know Kyle. I mean, I can't speak to every trainer in the NFL, but that's, there's genuine relationships there. Like, they actually mm-hmm. like bond, like they know these kids and men, and they get to know them, and there's a relationship there. I don't believe that Kyle Johnston, actually I know for a fact Kyle Johnston, the head athletic trainer at Miami, would never put a player out there if there's a risk of a re-injury. 0% chance. I don't give a fuck what coach came to him and tried to put pressure. I'm telling you, he's a real ass dude. He's not going to get pushed around by anybody. He would resign right on the spot before he let some coach or owner or someone force him to put a kid on the field. He would never do it.
Yeah. Yep. All right, Zach, I want to move ahead a little bit. I want to talk about Ohio State, then the Big Ten. Then we're going to get all the super chats. And in case you missed it, all super chats donated today will be donated to the Hurricane Relief Fund. Because our guy Zach is a stand-up dude, despite all the narratives in the media. Zach, Ohio State taking on Rutgers. You know, I think we're 38-point favorites in this one, or 39-point favorites. Feels like everybody's getting got every week. Shiano has Rutgers to 3-1. We are 4-0. What do you see? What are you looking out for? And who do you think this game could be about? Because last week I think it was about Cade Stover. Who's this week about?
Well, this week's going to be about the offense, because when you look at this, I mean, Rutgers is, I mean, they're one of the worst offenses in mm-hmm. college football, let alone the Big Ten. I mean, I can go through all the analytics. They're the 11th best offense in the Big Ten, 12th best passing offense, 9th best rushing offense, 11th best scoring offense. They average a little over one turnover a game, so they cough it up once a game. They're the 11th best third down offense in the Big Ten, the 13th best red zone offense in the Big Ten. They only score touchdowns 44% of the times. Their quarterback, Evan Simon, is the 12th rated quarterback in the Big Ten. He had 8 completions for 63 yards versus Boston College, 9 completions for 52 yards. I forget what game I wrote Rutgers like a dumbass. he had 13, 12, and 15 attempts in his first three games. And then they played Iowa and couldn't run the ball at all. I think they'd averaged 2.5 yards per carry. So he launched it 49 times and ended up throwing 2 picks in their only loss. Their offense is really bad. And so I look for Jim Knowles to absolutely fucking dominate this offense. But their defense, they're typical. Greg Schiano is a defensive coordinator. He has a very clear philosophy to be an attack style of defense, and that's what they are, right? It's when it comes to aggressiveness on defense, Ohio State leads the Big Ten in TFLs with 30. Rutgers is second with 28. So they are aggressive as shit, and they're not trying to let you gain an inch. So I'm curious to watch this offense kind of attack an aggressive defense. I'm not going to sit here and say that there's going to be any kind of challenge in this game, although Graciano always has his game circled.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if there's trick plays on offense. He has a really good defensive plan. He does every year. They're far outgunned and outmatched, but it'll be interesting to see kind of how that goes. Cause Rutgers right now has the top rushing defense, Big Ten. I mean,
that was to my next question was going to be, what is Shiano's philosophy? Stop the run first or the pass first? Because we talked about both ways.
He's a stop the run first guy. Which I think is archaic in defensive football, but that's fine. That's my opinion. He has a different opinion. They have the third best third down defense in the Big Ten. They're dead last in red zone defense. So I don't know what the fuck they do in the red zone, but their red zone offense is terrible. Their red zone defense is terrible. In practice, a red zone period must be like watching two fat people fuck. It's just got to be awful and disgusting. But they have created 6 turnovers so far this year, which is 7th in the Big Ten. And as we've talked about, Ohio State is dead last at creating turnovers. They've only created 3 through 4 games. So it's most games you can learn something. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're going to learn in this game because it should be a blowout, but I guess you're going to see this rushing attack that just blossomed against Wisconsin. And I did mean to mention, Chris, I put the second half coach's film room study out this morning. So now you have the full offensive game plan. This afternoon's the defense. We'll get to watch that in the Patreon exclusive coach's film room episodes. But you'll get to see this kind of blossoming run game against quote unquote the best rush defense in the Big Ten. I mean, at least a defense that puts a premium on stopping the run. And so that's the one thing I think you'll get to learn. And then the other thing is Graciano plays man coverage. I mean, I doubt he will a ton against Ohio State, but you might get to see Julian Fleming beat man coverage. And that's what I'm so thirsty mm-hmm. to see. Like just watching that, even that second half of the Ohio State game, just some of the catch and runs that he had. He did well against zone coverage. I just want to see him beat a man. Like beat a man.
Get off the line and beat a man. That's so it. Do you think Shiano will sell out to stop the run? Like risk playing press man coverage with a single high to have as many people in the box as possible?
Or I mean, no, he's going to have game plans. He's a more quarters guy, so he's going to involve safeties in the run fits, and it's going to leave corners on an island a little bit. But I think he is going to make CJ Stroud throw it. I mean, just reality of it. I don't think he's going to let Travion Henderson and Mayan Williams just take their life away. And that being said, Chris, I'm doubling down that Mayan is a far better back than Travion because I'm challenging all of you, anyone that disagrees, to pay the $20 on Patreon and watch that offensive game film, because you will walk away going, wow, it's not even close. And like I said, if the money's not worth it, I will refund you immediately. The minute you message me, I'll send you your $20 back. You will see what I mean. And Travion has a chance to be a great player. He's just doesn't have great vision, and he just misses cuts sometimes. And honestly, at times he doesn't understand the blocking scheme. So he'll get there, but he's just not there yet.
Heard. The super chats are pouring in. I'm going to throw them up, obviously, once we kind of get there. I do want to throw this one up, Zach, just because it's my guy, Smokey. 20, what up, Chris and Zach and Menace Gang. Tennessee right behind Ohio State, right? We are a closet Tennessee fan show.
Hey, Ohio State is 1 and Tennessee is 1B. Tennessee will beat Alabama and Georgia, right?
Facts. And I got a big cigar for everybody. All right, Zach, I do want to stay on the running backs real quick. Do you think this is a game where one of the running backs pop a long run because of the aggression, maybe that next level running? Or nah, Shiano won't let that happen. Because we haven't had that this year. Like, we've had everything this year. We've had CJ ran the ball. We've had deep touchdowns. We had run after catch. We almost had a punt return for a touchdown if it wasn't for a penalty. Will we get a long run?
Well, here's the thing, right? Aggressive defenses are like going against a fastball pitcher that throws really fast, right? It's hard to get a big play. It's hard to get yards. But when you do, that they're coming so hard at you, you're going so hard at them, there's a crease. There's not much left behind it, right? So I do think you're going to have at least one big run. I would say a couple big runs in this game because Ohio State's blocking really well. And if they can create a crease against an aggressive defense, there might not be a back end. And when that happens, that's when Travion Henderson will show off his explosion. And that's what we haven't really seen yet. We saw it last year on a couple swing passes where he just hits a crease and they lose their angles because he's so explosive. We haven't seen that yet this year. So I'm looking forward to that happening. I think this is the week that it happens.
Do you think Rutgers has any players that can exploit a certain weakness for Ohio State? Or do you expect Ohio State to cover in this game?
I mean, I think Ohio State covers in this game. Okay. I mean, I think this is a fraudulent good defense, and I think this offense is atrocious with bad quarterback play. Here's what I'm really looking forward to, Chris. I want to see, when you talk about Ohio State, what do they need to do to level up? Keep leveling up. Every week is about leveling up so better. That at the end of the year, you can beat Michigan, win the Big Ten against, and beat a good Minnesota team, and then go to the playoffs ready to challenge, to contend for the national championship. So every week is a level up week. And when I watch Ohio State on defense, I want to see if they can create some turnovers, because Rutgers doesn't turn it over a lot. I want to see if they can disrupt the football. And then I want to see if these fuckers can get home to the quarterback. I want to see some sacks, because Rutgers is not going to be able to run the ball. I mean, I think I mentioned it. Let me go down. They have the 9th best rushing offense in the Big Ten. If you think they're going to run the ball against Jim Knowles' scheme and Tommy Eichenberg and the boys, there's just no chance. So I'm really looking forward to watching them force this below average quarterback to throw the pill a little bit and see if these DBs can play the ball, get some interceptions. I mean, we had one interception last week to Tanner McAllister, and I mean, literally the quarterback threw it right to him. Like, it wasn't like he broke on a ball, undercut a route. I mean, if there was good ball, it was completed. The quarterback threw it 5 yards to the right of the receiver,
It was a good ball to the other team.
Like, oh, it was fucking a dot to the safety
on the face mask.
So I'm really looking at this to be a dominant performance on both sides of the ball, and I want to see big plays on offense, and I want to see sacks and turnovers on defense. I think everything else is assumed and will happen. I do. So that's really what I'm looking for.
Yeah, and just real quick, what I'm looking for is in the way my brain works, Zach, like Jim Knowles is Tony Stark, and what he's working on is the Iron Man suit, like the limit, like the unlimited potential weapon. And right now it's in the early phases, and that Iron Man suit is Sonny Styles. I want to see if they can continue his uptick in playing, continue his improvement, because if he is one of the 11 best players come time for the playoffs, he needs to be out there regardless of age. So it's working on the Iron Man suit that is Sonny Styles.
And not only that, like, you know, all the coach speak that goes on in press conferences, who's going to be back, Cam Brown, Denzel Burke, Lathan Ransom, like, whether they're back or not, it's going to be really exciting to watch those two young corners and Sonny Styles keep developing, because regardless of if they play a key role or not, they will add key depth.
Right.
And you have to have depth, because at any moment in a big game, you're playing Georgia for the national championship and Denzel Burke goes down, that fucking freshman that comes in, he better not be pissing down his leg. He better have game experience. And those freshmen got it last week. And so I'm excited to watch them continue to grow, because Jair Brown, I think, is a stud. I mean, he played outstanding against bad skill, I know. But I think he has a chance to be a really good player, and it would be unbelievable if he could provide some serious depth at corner, both those freshmen.
The one thing I need in the future, whether it's this year or next year, is a Sonny Styles Brock Bowers collision. That is what I need.
Well, good God, give the kid a fucking chance.
No. Brock Bowers is a sophomore, Zach.
You're saying, okay, you better be saying next year.
Yeah, no, next year.
Brock Bowers would eat him fucking alive right now.
Okay, chill on my boy like that, man. Sonny's dangerous. All right, Zach, but we have our gambling guy in here, the Mensa.
The Menace Mensa, so we'll get him in. But first, I want to talk about last night's picks. I put them out, and here's the good news and bad news. So Menace to Picks is our handicapping service. Our Mensa is one of our lead handicappers, part of the handicapping team. I think we put out 6 picks or 7 picks, and only one didn't hit. And of course, it was one of the two I gave out on the show, which is fine. We still went one for two. I think my record right now is 4-2 on my bookie picks. Head over to my bookie, promo code Menace, get a free deposit match while we're at it. Bengals -3 cashed. And Joe Burrow had, I think, 6 rushing yards. He had 5 attempts, but Miami did a good job of bottling Joe Burrow up when it comes to scrambling. So that didn't hit, but I'm also not a handicapper. I gave out our handicapper's pick, so I'm going to bring on our lead handicapper, our very own Menace Mensa. What's up, Mensa?
Hey, how we doing, Zach?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
So first, Mensa is our analytical guy, right? He's helps me build these analytical models, and we've talked about it. I think after this weekend, we're going to launch the college football one, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've got enough data accumulated, especially after this week. We should be ready to go.
So we're going to launch our full-on college football model after this weekend, and really looking forward to that. If you want to go over to patreon.com/menace2picks is right above Mensa, and you can sign up for our handicapping services. And it's going really well right now as in the first month of football. But his main focus has been props, because, just long story short, I don't want to bore you, but betting baseball games is fucking dumb. Like, it's really too many variables, too much shit going on. So we retired from that and we switched our focus to a prop model, and Mensa built it, and it's been fucking outstanding. We haven't lost money a single month all baseball season. And so we're transitioning that to football. And what is your record right now on the show for props?
So on the show, this is week four. Throughout the first 3 weeks, the prop picks are 6-2 overall. So get involved if you're
6-2 overall.
If you're sitting on the bench, you got to get in.
And Mensa didn't come on last week. He was traveling, and we had some other things to talk about. And I had several people hit me up like, "Hey man, we need the Mensa picks." It's like a crackhead. Like, "Hey man, I need the Mensa picks."
Absolutely, man.
So talk to me, Mensa. What do you like this week?
All right. So for tonight, I got a couple baseball props. First one is Joe Ryan under 4.5 hits allowed. Minnesota Twins starting pitcher. He's a rookie this year with phenomenal numbers. Expected batting average of .216, hard hit rate of just 35.7% against. And he faces a Detroit team tonight that is god awful. I mean, they rank dead last in the majors in a bunch of offensive categories, including on base percentage and weighted runs created plus. And they're even worse against right-handed pitching. Ryan has gone under this mark in 6 of his last 7 games, as well as all 3 games this season against Detroit. He's just completely dominated their lineup. So that's one for tonight. Second one, actually, we got 2 coming up in the same game, Miami versus Milwaukee tonight. Sandy Alcantara was probably going to win the NL Cy Young Award. I have him under 5.5 hits allowed. It's a little dangerous playing his hits allowed props just because he pitches so deep into games. He's a workhorse for them. However, he matches up really well against his Brewers lineup. His expected average against is .217. You'll like this, Zach. I know you're a big baseball guy, but his ex-Wobicon, one of my favorite stats.
It's, what the fuck is that?
It's weighted on base average on contact. So basically what it means is when guys are creating contact against him, it's not going well for them. So his ex-Wobicon is .317. It's top 10% of the league. And the Brewers, they own the 10th worst expected batting average in baseball. And he has Alcantara's strong historical matchups versus McCutcheon, Colton Wong, Hunter Renfro, and Willie Adames. So he should dominate the Brewers lineup tonight. And then the other starting pitcher prop I like in that game is Corbin Burns, over 8.5 strikeouts. You can get that at plus money on most books right now, as that's a relatively high number for strikeouts. But he's top 3 in the National League with 231 strikeouts overall. His K rate is over 30%. His called strike plus whiff percentage is top 10 in the league as well. And he faces a Marlins lineup that is fifth, or they're striking out at the 6th highest rate, over the last 30 days against right-handed pitching. And so I like Burns to fly over this number tonight. I could see him going 11 or 12. And then, I got one other college football prop for tonight.
Now talk football. Yeah, all that I know. whip, cock walking. Talk to me about football.
So football, Washington, UCLA, some late night prop after dark action. Line I like tonight is, Zach Charbonnet, over 89.5 rushing yards.
Former Michigan running back.
Yeah, exactly. The transfer. He's been a big play monster for them over the last 2 years. I know PFF has him graded as a top 5 back, both last year and this year. But he's got the big play ability, and he's gone over 100 yards in 2 of the 3 games he's played already for the Bruins. The one game he missed this mark was against South Alabama, who actually has a stout run defense. They're 23rd in the nation according to PFF's rushing grade. Whereas Washington sits at 93rd overall. So I like UCLA to take advantage of that matchup at home tonight, running the ball behind him and their quarterback Robinson as well. But Charbonnet over 89.5 is my college football prop for tonight. And we're going to start going live with college football props this weekend. I've got some lined up for tomorrow, just waiting for lines to come out. Unfortunately, I wanted to give some out for tomorrow, but a lot of books don't release lines until the day of. So we'll have, if you sign up for patreon.com/menacetopicks, we'll have some college football props throughout the weekend as well.
All your gambling needs right there on Menace to Picks. So we're trying to attack all avenues of sports, right? Next is going to be like, I don't know, OnlyFans or some sex site. But I appreciate you, Mensa. Appreciate you coming on. Every Friday he's on about midway through the show to give you some free winners. So write those down. Go get on your app. And if you go to my bookie and bet them and have fun with them. So I appreciate you, Mensa.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Zach.
All right, for sure. So I did want to mention as we transition that our general tier on Patreon, this is not the Menace to Picks tier, but our group chat is popping off. You $20 a month, you get the Colonel tier, you get all the film breakdowns. I think we have like 10 or 12 up there now. And then the general tier, you get in our exclusive group chat. And within there, there's channels for all kinds of shit. One is just a channel to talk college football all game day long tomorrow. I'm in there giving you my thoughts. If you want to sign up, come hang out with me on game day on there. There's also a degenerate channel in there, or if you want to be a complete degenerate and God knows I can be, you can have fun with that. But just go check out our Patreon. It's a money-back guarantee. I've never done that before, but the shit we're doing is giving you a different experience into college football, and I'm telling you, you're going to like it. Like, you're going to love it. And if you don't, I'll send you your $30 back. So go check it out, patreon.com/menacetosports, and all kinds of different tiers. So pick the tier that's right for you and come hang out with us, man. Experience college football at a different level. All right, Chris, what do you got?
Got a couple mailbag questions for you, Zach, and then we're going to hit the Super Chats. Again, if you missed it, all Super Chat donations will go to the relief fund for the hurricane. Obviously, we appreciate you, and obviously we have a lot of listeners down there that we are praying and rooting for. But all right, Zach, just kind of speaking about hurricanes, I guess. I'm not sure if this has been asked before. It's from our guy Nathan. But have you ever been in a crazy weather situation during a recruiting in your time at Florida or at Ohio State?
Well, I've told the story about the time we were in an absolute blizzard driving back from a home visit with Donovan Peoples-Jones, and Urban never drives, right? The assistant coach always has to drive Urban Meyer. It's like you're his personal valet chauffeur. And in this situation, he was like, "Give me the keys." I was like, "What?" And he was like, "I'm not letting you kill us. If anybody's going to kill us, it's going to be me." And I was like, "Oh, well, fuck me, right? Like, so you get to kill me." And this son of a bitch is driving 70 miles an hour down the highway. I mean, just fishtailing everywhere, in and out of traffic like a fucking psychopath. And he's like, "These motherfuckers have never driven in the snow. This is why I grew up in Ashtabula. Like, this shit is nothing." And he's just flying. And Kerry Combs is behind us and can't keep up. And we end up like 20 minutes ahead of Kerry Combs. And he's like, "Call Kerry, see where he's at." And Kerry, I call Kerry. He's like, "This city, about 20 minutes behind you." And Urban's like, "Man, I need to get home. Tell him he might have to just drive the rest of the way." We were driving to Toledo to catch a private jet to fly back to Columbus. He was going to make Kerry Combs keep driving in a blizzard from Toledo to Columbus just so he could get home 20 minutes earlier. Like, you talk about some fucked up shit. So that's the one story I've already told publicly. I also, there's a famous story in Atlanta. The one time they got a lot of snow because they're not used to it. Tom Herman left his rental car on the highway and walked to the airport because he was just never going to move. And he was there for like 7 hours or something crazy. I got stuck in PG County, Maryland in a snowstorm. And I'm driving a shitty little like four-cylinder car. This is back, I think, when I was at Temple. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving and I'm just trying to get back to my hotel. And I go down this big hill and I start to go up this big hill. And all of a sudden my wheels are spinning. It won't go. And so I back up and I can't get back up this hill. So I got stuck in this valley road between two massive hills for like probably like 5 hours until a snowplow finally came through and I could get some traction to get up the hill. So, and that's not even, I mean, I'm sure there's other times. I've been stuck down in Florida recruiting when there was never a hurricane, but it was like bad tropical weather. I'm trying to think of anything else crazy. That's pretty, those are the two though that stick with me that I still remember vividly.
Herbs, man. What a guy.
UFM, Urban fucking Meyer.
Mm-hmm. And then my guy Cody had a question for me on the recruiting trail. We drop a recruiting show every single Tuesday and Thursday. Obviously, Chris's Corner for those of you interested in that kind of thing. Yes.
I don't think I've done a good enough job telling people about that. So you go on Patreon, our $5 tier, our lowest tier. You get a custom RSS feed right on your phone so you don't have to deal with Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anything. But also, one of the biggest perks of it is Chris's Tuesday show is exclusively on that RSS feed. It's not out to the public. So if you're into college football recruiting, Chris has tapped into all these kids. So sign up, pay $5 a month. Same thing. If you think Chris's show sucks, I'll refund you the $5. Go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Damn.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, well, I appreciate it. So we do a good job trying to, making connections instead of just kind of guessing and getting everybody's hopes up. The goal is to make a really real recruiting show. And I drop nuggets that I can't usually drop on Tuesday. So that's definitely a perk of the platform. Cody asked, how do you see our Ohio State recruiting comparing to Alabama and Georgia in terms of how they finish. I think that Bama's going to finish first overall because they're really committed to oversign. Right now they're at 23. I think they sign at least three or four more kids, putting them at 27. I know Ohio State is going to only sign about 23, if I have a guess. And then I think Georgia is in for at least three more prospects, so they'll also sign about 23. I think we will finish in the top three, and I think out of the three schools, we'll have the second highest average commitment. All additionally, Texas is at 22 commits. They're sitting second with an average rating of 92, so that is plus on that. So I think if I had to decide, I would go probably Bama 1, Georgia 2, us 3, Texas 4 when it's all said and done. But again, obviously there is time. And come December 5th, there's going to be a crazy recruiting momentum in terms of swing because there's going to be a lot of guys in the portal that were freshmen. And so there's going to be spots to get taken away, spots that are divvied up elsewhere. And so we could see some transfers as well. That's on that question. All right, Zach, ready for the Super Chats, my guy?
I'm ready.
Cool. Again, all Super Chats are being donated to the Relief Fund. We appreciate all of you for helping this platform, kind of helping us help them.
And we will announce on Monday's show what the grand total is because YouTube analytics can tell me, but I'm not going to tally them as we go. Maybe I should to entice donations. But if you're interested in donating, here's a way to donate to the Hurricane Relief Fund and also get a question answered or also talk college football. So it's a decent opportunity.
Michael, thank you for the five. Does Trey finally get his breakout run against Rutgers this week?
I think he does. I really do. And if you watch that the video breakdown on Patreon, not to keep bringing it up, but Tony Alford's coaching his ass off and showing these kids all these clips. And I think that Wisconsin game, he missed three massive hits. And I think, I mean, God only knows with his ability, all three might've been went the distance. So coaching him off that film, Tony Alford got to coach him in those three moments and show him where he should have went, how he should have run it. And I think that learning that is going to pay off this week. Because it's a constant development, right? And I think Travion is an unbelievable talent, but he's just not quite there yet when it comes to college football vision, having second-level reads. He's just still a young player. And I think that Tony Alford having that tool in his toolbox to coach and develop him in the Wisconsin game is going to be, I mean, masterful for his future because he's going to develop from those three plays. So yes, I think he does crease a big one in this game because of their aggressive defense and because Tony got to coach him on those clips from the Wisconsin game.
His first time as a full-time running back was back half of his sophomore season and then his junior year. He then didn't get to play his senior year because of COVID and then was launched into action as a freshman. So he's still very early. I mean, this is just his, you know, third full year as a real running back. So things are going to take some time. Easy Eye, thank you for the two. Will Michigan having two co-offensive coordinators hurt them in the long term? How do those meetings go? Or is it just a fucking
title? It's
all
bullshit. It's all bullshit. Co-OC, assistant OC, it's all bullshit. Mm-hmm. All that matters is who makes the final call when it comes to the style of offense, the direction of offense, and the scheme that you're going to use. Who makes the final call in game planning and who calls the plays? I could give two shits about titles. A co-OC structure never will work, never has worked. There has to be a Gestapo, a guy at the end that is the final decision maker. Otherwise, you'll spin around. It's like a hamster wheel. If you have a disagreement between two co-OCs, who makes the call? If it's the head coach, then he's the decision maker. So it absolutely can work. I mean, every year at Ohio State, we had a offensive coordinator, co-offensive coordinator, which never made fucking sense because to be a co-offensive coordinator, there needs to be another co-offensive coordinator. But we had a name-titled offensive coordinator and then a co. So we had one co, which that's really, don't get me started. I used to laugh about it every year. Like, this is the dumbest shit ever. Just, it's an assistant offensive coordinator, but never, either here nor there. There is a guy in charge. And sometimes when it comes to titles and salaries, they make it co-OC so that another guy wants to be at Michigan and has that reputation that he is also an offensive coordinator, but there is a guy calling the plays. There's a guy making those decisions. So it absolutely can work. It's literally how every college football program is structured. They're just titles.
Yeah. Titles and another way to lie on your resume because that's co-OC, you could say you called the plays and then you catfish some school into giving you a job. Then you get the job, you let all of South Florida down, and then everyone's making fun of you. Thank you for the two. Tua should sue the team he should have not played. I think that's something that's going to be coming at some point.
We don't know what went on in closed doors. He might have fought the team and fought the doctor to play, and then they obliged, and then it's on him at that point.
Yeah. Yikes. Daquan, thank you for the two. Is Tua to blame because he didn't throw the ball away?
Ooh-wee, I mean,
holy.
That's
football's
tough.
Football's a violent sport.
But I'll tell you this much. When Tim Tebow got knocked out cold in the Kentucky game, I mean out cold, it was a zero blitz, all out max blitz, and he was taught from day one on campus that when you get a zero blitz in empty, you motion the receiver in to protect your backside edge and you drift away from it and throw a touchdown. That's what Urban's offense did. Well, he drifted away and threw a touchdown, but he didn't bring that receiver in to protect his backside. And because of it, he got knocked the fuck out. And so, I mean, you don't want to blame a player. They got a lot going on, right? They're playing quarterback in this scenario in the NFL.
National Football
but there's always something you could have done to prevent an injury. I've had receivers break their legs because they're being soft and blocking. And instead of being aggressive and running a number, they're just standing there and then they get rolled up on and snap their leg. I mean, you can blame players all the time, but it doesn't change the facts that it's awful. It's unfortunate. And in this situation, it looks like it was preventable.
Yeah. John, thank you for the five. How long will it take for JSN to get back on the same page with Stroud and other receivers? I'm assuming once he returns back healthy.
Well, he's got a really good track record and history with CJ. I don't know that getting on the same page with the other receivers really matters, but he's a veteran player. He'll be fine. I'm more worried about when he gets healthy. And I saw the super chat that they're saying got deleted was I think J-Book came out with whether it's a rumor or not, that he now has hurt his other hamstring. So, and I don't know that that's true. That's just what's been rumored. I haven't heard that. But ultimately, he needs to get healthy first before we can worry about chemistry, timing, or any of that other bullshit. And that's what I'm most concerned of, that he gets healthy this year.
Thank you, Brick, for the five. Great show. Watch every day. Can Trey go for 200, or is Rutgers defense better than that? When do we want to see, or when will we see, peak Ohio State?
I mean, you hope to see peak Ohio State around Michigan game. You want them to peak at the end of the year, right? Teams like this, you're hoping for a playoff run, and so you have to peak at the end of the year, and that's why all intents and purposes, all focus is on doing that and not fucking a game up along the way, right? Mm-hmm. They're obviously trying to win every game, but they're not. Jim Knowles is not worried about having the top five defense in week four. He's worried about having a top five defense in week 12. And so that's what they're building towards. Could Travion go for over 200? It depends on how they split carries. I think Rutgers is a better rush defense than most people will give them credit for. They are certainly overrated when you look at the stats and watch the film. But, I mean, if he gets enough touches, he could. Those three runs against Wisconsin, if he pops those same three runs against Rutgers, he's going to have 120 yards on those three runs alone. So I think they'll find ways to get him there. He's just got to execute them. So it's possible, but you just hope he's taking Tony Alford's coaching and is going to crease those plays that he should have creased on Saturday.
Steven, thank you for the five. Best walk-on player at a school you have coached or at a success not story even, in any position?
Not even close. It is CJ Saunders. Mm-hmm. CJ Saunders was outstanding. I mean, as a sophomore, he played for us. He had unbelievable feet, unbelievable transition, great ball skills, very intelligent player. Reminds me a lot, not as good of a player, but it reminds me of how Cooper Kupp understands the position at a high level. Like, he understood how to manipulate defenders, and he was one of the best walk-ons I've seen.
Absolutely. Andrew, thank you for the 10. We appreciate that. If you had to pick between the best of Tressels, Cooper's, and Urban's receivers, which group would you want in Ryan Day's offense? That's an easy one for me.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, like if I could handpick three receivers from one era, I would absolutely go pick Michael Thomas in Ryan's system. I would go get Terry McLaurin in Ryan's system, and then whoever the third could be, it could be Curtis, or it could be Paris with a Ryan or quarterback. Braxton. Yeah, or Braxton. Yeah, I mean, that's just
– I mean, I know you're too young, Chris, but John Cooper's era was ridiculous. I mean, you're talking about Terry Glenn, a Biletnikoff Award winner, Joey Galloway. Like, I would definitely, and because of the style of offense back then, can you imagine what Terry Glenn and Joey Galloway could have done in this offense? And then there was other ones too. But I mean, you're talking about two generational receivers, college receivers at the very least. And Joey Galloway, I mean, what, 18-year career in the NFL? You imagine what they would have done in this day and age's offense, specifically Ryan's offense. I would have loved to have seen it.
I guess I remember watching Corey Coleman dominate college football in an offense that was really favorable towards receivers the same year that Michael Thomas was not. And then I see Michael Thomas go to the NFL and dominate NFL DBs week in and week out. So
don't
to see
me
Michael
wrong.
Thomas in that offense, I just
Mike
that,
would Mike would have won the Biletnikoff if he was in Ryan's offense. There's no doubt about it. I said it after his after 2014 and after 2015. That kid would have won the Biletnikoff if we weren't in Urban Meyer's offense. If JT wasn't such a runner and not as polished of a thrower, like if he was in a throwing an NFL offense, he would have won the Biletnikoff. And I think we saw that in his first 4 years in the NFL. It just is what it is. So I would have loved to see Mike in it. I would have loved to see all the receivers you talked about in it, but yeah. I don't know, something about seeing Joey Galloway and that Cooper era receivers in an updated offense would have been something special. Joey Galloway's so fucking good.
Yeah, I agree. And of course, like I'm younger. So kind of the offenses that kind of stick out to me is that kind of that 2010 to 2014 window, if I'm being honest. Thank you, Ty, for the five. Do you notice a significant motivation issue when putting backups in for garbage time? They know the play calling is vanilla. How do you address it? Go Bucks. Ooh, great question.
It's just execution at that point. Obviously, your lesser players are on the field, right? They're not as good as your starters. And you want them to just execute something that they know well and can play fast in. So a lot of times you do get more vanilla. And I mean, it's about coaching through those errors, right? Whether it's mental errors or just execution errors, you need to coach through it. And that'll develop your second group to the point where if you're playing a team you're blowing out like that, your second group should be able to hold up against them. And so that's really what it's all about. It's about getting the second group to execute at a high enough level to beat a lesser opponent's best offensive unit or defensive unit. So you're not worried about combating like the other team getting some production. You know that might happen because you're putting your second group out there. But at the end of the day, you're trying to develop those kids because some of them might have to play. And in the future, they're going to be your first group, right? So you're trying to get that done. And that's the whole point of it. So you're okay with a little production given up. As much as you hate it, you kind of understand that's probably going to happen.
Thank you, T, for another five. Will Greg play man defense?
Well, I'm just telling you, from what I've watched on film of our offense through four games, I know what they're capable of, but I absolutely would play man coverage and find a way to star or double or bracket Emeka Egbuka. That's what I would try to do. And until they showed me that Julian Fleming can beat man coverage, Marvin Harrison Jr. can route the fuck out of a corner, like until they show that, make them do it. Like force them to do it. Now don't do it on Emeka. He solidified to me watching that Wisconsin film again this morning. He's the best receiver in the Big Ten, one of the best in the country. I would not just put some guy on him and be like, good luck, buddy. No way.
I mean, we've seen like how do you defend CJ Stroud? Knock off the timing, make him uncomfortable. So if you can hit his receivers, you know, throw the timing off on routes and then hit him. And obviously we saw two teams do that last year, and those two teams ended up winning. Question for Zach, the one and only AK. What up, Big Ack? Who was the toughest player you've ever had to recruit? Keep up the great work, fellas. Thanks.
Toughest how, I guess, is the question.
Like toughest recruit to pull, maybe?
That would be Torrence Gibson because he was such a train wreck. Like a pretty girl or a flashy car would make him look anywhere. And so that was the toughest player to get to come to Ohio State. Because most of the kids I recruited, they were pretty focused kids. And Torrence was a complete project because he was a distracted son of a bitch. Like he was just, and I mean, his career kind of showed that was the concern that was valid. Now the toughest player, like tough, toughness, when you're talking about toughness, yeah. Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably Joey Bosa.
I always thought he was a goofball, but I guess he's tough and goofball.
I mean, he's a goofball in the locker room and like off the field. He's a great kid that has a good personality, but you get in the weight room or in the football field, fuck. I'm not going anywhere near that son of a bitch.
Who's funnier, him or Nick?
I don't know. Nick had more of an outgoing personality, but Joey was funny in a dry way. And I think Joey Bosa mic'd up is one of the funniest things going in the NFL. If you see any of his mic'd up clips, he's fucking hilarious. But he's just so quiet off the field and so like dry that when he says something funny, you're like get caught off guard so wildly. So I don't know. That's tough. They both have good personalities and are both funny.
Were him and Zeke best friends, or am I remembering that incorrectly?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was that an unlikely friendship in your book, or was that just kind of, oh?
That's two guys that go hard on the field and off.
We threw this up. I just fuck with Smokey. Tennessee. The SEC runs through the Vols.
Vol Navy.
The Vol Navy. I like it. Scott just sending the donation because Uck Fishigan.
Love it.
Here for us scrolling down. Thank you for all the donations. We appreciate you. And obviously these are all going to the relief fund. Thank you for the five. Rutgers is a lot worse off without Vedrill at QB. I'm hearing he'll be back against Ohio State. Take the over on 58. You think he's going to be good enough to score though?
I mean, I don't get me wrong. They're entirely better with him at quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, this Evan Simon kid just not a good. He's not a good quarterback.
Great kid.
I don't know if I'm taking the over. I honestly think, I think I would take the over team total on Ohio State before I take the over in the game, because I still don't believe that they're going to be able to move the ball in Jim Knowles' defense. I don't. Mm-hmm. So the over scares me a little bit, but the team total over on Ohio State, I think, is a pretty surefire bet. If the over's 58, I'd imagine the team total over for Ohio State's like 38. I think they score over 40 points for sure. So I would take the team total over on Ohio State before I took the game over.
Life's too short to bet the under. Thank you, Shane, for the five. Any chance that if JSN comes back, it actually upsets the rhythm and game plan they established while he was out and the Buckeyes stutter a little bit on offense?
No, I don't think it does. Solely because now with this injury concern, I don't think they're going to do as much specific like target game plan for JSN, because if he pulls his hamstring again, all that offense is out. So I think they'll just reinstitute him in the offense that is already cooking and already employed. And I don't think they miss a beat. I only think they improve efficiency because they have their best receiver back, which that might be arguable now, but but they bring back one of their, if not their best, one of their top two receivers. So I don't think they miss a beat. I only think they increase their production.
Mark, thank you for the five. How many of the Heisman contenders have scored five touchdowns in a single college football game? I don't know. I don't know this year. That's a great question. I'm not sure. It's really good. That is a really good question.
Must be talking about quarterback passing, right?
Yeah. I mean, did Hendon have five last week?
I don't remember.
Look that up. We'll get back to you on that one as we kind of move ahead. Do you think Cade would be having this level of production if Garrett and Olave were still here?
I doubt it just because there was such a focus to throw those two and Jackson Smith and Jigba the ball, mm-hmm. that right now, I mean, you see it, right? You see it on film. Not that they don't love their receivers, but they don't feel like they're dominant, you know, top 10 pick receivers right now. So, and Cade Stover has proven he is really fucking good. And so he earned those touches. I don't know if they think the same about him with Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson on that football field. Honestly, they probably don't. He would be the fourth, I mean, by a landslide, and he would get some touches, but not what he's getting right now. No way.
Randy, thank you for the 10. Love the show. Do you think Ohio State's defense will finish in the top 15, the total defense in the nation? I think they should. I think they will. What are they, 17th right now?
We'll see. I mean, you look at the competition they played so far, and they're 32nd in the country. And I know part of that is a lot of teams have played a lot of bad teams. So once mm-hmm. they get in conference play, this shit starts to level out. I think top 25 is realistic. Top 15 is a great goal, but the realistic side of it is top 25. I've said that preseason. I'll say it again now. Top 25 defense in America, I think, is a realistic goal that is we should be satisfied with. And then I think they keep pushing as they go, build some secondary depth, and have a top 10, top five defense in, you know, maybe a year, mm-hmm. maybe two. But I think it gets there. But top 25 is my benchmark right now, and they're almost there.
I also prefer the SP plus rating and total instead of total defense, because that kind of eliminates garbage time and also weighs opponents. Total defense has no weighing of opponents. Absolutely. You can see like Georgia shut out bad teams, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, look, they have the top defense. Or you can see like that, because that 22 points against Kent State would get weighed differently because Kent State's a bad team. So I prefer SP plus, and I believe in that we are 17th in the country, but I could be mistaken on that. Zach, wow, thank you for the 50. We appreciate you. Zach Smith got a bad rap in 2018. Never liked Urban after he told my boy, I don't know.
Jaywan
story. He would be in Florida all 4 years and then left to go to Ohio State, which was his second school of choice. Zach Smith should be our OC right now. Screw Urban.
Appreciate you, brother. It's water under the bridge now. We're building something big here, Menace Army.
Mm-hmm, got something big.
But I do appreciate it.
Yeah, we are going to start a football team, though, at some point, and Zach will be the OC for it. Don't worry.
Okay.
We're looking for a quarterback. RK, thank you for the 9. If you want to play quarterback for the Menace for Menace Army, let us know. Foreskin Pete 63, Menace 503.
Foreskin Pete in the building. I'm still waiting. He called me out. I answered the call. That motherfucker's still crickets. Mm-hmm. Come debate me.
Hey, duck season's getting here quicker than we thought it would. Usually duck season around like week 8, but we're getting right a little earlier. We're here for it. Inside the End Zone. Thank you for the five. How's it going, guys? I think Michigan will beat Iowa 45-31. Iowa with the 31 burger. I think Michigan will go undefeated until the Ohio State game. If Iowa scores 31, never mind. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I agree that Michigan will be undefeated going into the Ohio State game. I don't know that I think Iowa will score 31. Like, when you look at this Big Ten slate this weekend, they're all somewhat pretty easy winnable games. The one game that I'm kind of circled to see is Aiden O'Connell taking on Minnesota. And if you, when you start breaking down offenses, Minnesota, what they've done offensively, and I know they haven't really played anybody, has been unbelievable. And so I have that game circled at noon tomorrow as a game to watch. I don't want to call it an upset alert, but that's a game I'm going to really watch, because other than that, Illinois, Wisconsin, who gives a shit? Illinois 3-1. I actually like Wisconsin in the game. They're favored by 7. So I would take them. Penn State should have no problem with Northwestern. Maryland should have no problem with Michigan State. And of course, I say that, and they probably will struggle. Nebraska and Indiana. Nebraska's favored. 1-3 Nebraska is favored by 5 against 3-1 Indiana. And I like Nebraska to get a win there. Michigan should win easy over Iowa, and then Ohio State should win easy over Rutgers. So there's some great national games. Not a lot of great Big Ten games this weekend.
Facts. Andrew, thank you for the 10. Build the perfect quarterback taking parts of past Ohio State QBs. Also build the best receivers using the same thing.
Oh, shit. Man, that's tough. Great, all right, I'm taking JT play. Barrett's toughness and leadership. I'm taking Braxton Miller's athleticism. I'm taking Justin Fields'
mental aptitude. Throwing
ability. And then I'm taking Dwayne Haskins' deep ball. And then I'll take, can I count Joe Burrow? No, I'm not counting Joe Burrow. That would just fuck everything up. And then I'll take Craig Krenzel's mental capacity, the fucking neurosurgeon or whatever the fuck he graduated in.
Gotcha. I guess I'm a little different there. I would take JT's leadership. I would take Justin Fields' mental aptitude. I would take Dwayne Haskins' arm talent. I would take Braxton's legs. And then in terms of body, I would take just overall body. I would take Justin Fields in terms of quarterback body. And that's where I'm at with that. With wide receivers, where you at?
Wide receivers, I guess I'm going to go with Michael Thomas's hands for sure. This is all-time Ohio State receivers.
We're literally building football Jesuses right now.
Oh, God. I got to take Michael Thomas's hands over Chris Carter. Whew.
Yeah.
All right, I'm doing it. I coached him. That's my fucking guy. Michael Thomas's hands, I'm going to take Paris Campbell's running ability with the ball, right? His ability to break tackles, his running style. I'm taking his running style. I'm going to take Ted Ginn's speed. I will take this will be an oddball. Brian Hartline's route running. He was a fucking crafty. He's fucking one of the best route runners at Ohio State. That's what translates into coaching, because he understood how to run routes really well. What else do we want? Ball skills, I got checked, speed. And then I will take Curtis Samuel's versatility.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay, so for me, Michael Thomas's hands are what I'm taking. I'm taking Ted Ginn's speed. For the thing that you did for Paris, this is where I'm cheating a little bit. I'm taking Braxton with the ball in his hands, because I think Braxton a little shiftier. And could definitely seek out that space. And then I'm taking Garrett Wilson's.
I didn't even think about them.
I'm thinking Garrett's route running. And then I'm taking Garrett's in-air ability as well.
And the other thing I'm taking Joey Galloway's maturity and professional attitude. Understanding how to take care of your body, how to, you know, prolong your health and have fresh legs. Like, Joey Galloway's the best I've ever fucking heard of at that.
And I'm taking Evan Spencer's blocking.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
Because we're taking Evan Spencer's
blocking too.
Over Terry's blocking? I love watching Terry block, though.
No, I'm taking Terry's blocking.
Okay. I can get behind
Evan,
that.
Evan was fundamentally almost flawless, but Terry was like kind of an asshole. Like, he tried to hit people hard.
Mm-hmm. Facts. That was one of the most fun questions we've had, Zach.
And Terry's leadership. I didn't pick a leadership. Terry's leadership, too.
Terry's leadership. Love the show. Great work. But what tier do you recommend?
Well, so it depends on what you want. If you want to get Chris's extra show and just have a custom RSS feed, that's $5. If you want to get all of our audio content from call-in shows to reaction shows, that's the $10 major tier. The Colonel tier, you get the video, all video breakdowns, recruits, game film, all, it's all 22 films. So what the coaches actually watch, what you don't get to see, that's on the Colonel tier at $20. If you want to add the group chat in and my Mind of the Menace show, which, I mean, I know it's my show, but I think it's really good shit. There's no filter. Like my, it's a glass house. I mean, I'm just, it's a journal entry show about my life, about my experiences, both personal life, you know, how, what goes on in my house, the stuff I've been through. I've gotten a lot of great feedback on it. That's all on the Menace tier, $30 tier. If you want gambling, all the gambling picks with everything else. I mean, every tier, you get everything else at the bottom tiers. If you want gambling picks with everything else I just said, it's $45 a month. And then the tiers above that are basically advisory tiers. And then we have some donation tiers if you want to donate to our basically our marketing fund so that we can try to blow this show up even faster than we already are. It's the greatest rundown I could put out about it, but it's explained all on Patreon. Go check it out.
Absolutely. Oh, smoke, Zach. What's good? What's a good urban Tennessee story for the? Yeah. I'm here for it. Let's go.
So when Lane Kiffin was at Tennessee, they back channeled money through a church in Pahokee to get Newkeese Richardson up there. If you don't remember him, he ended up getting kicked out of Tennessee for like armed robbery at a gas station. They like mugged somebody. But he was committed to Florida, and Lane Kiffin got him and his whole family paid for to come up to Tennessee. And this is how fucking flamboyant and arrogant and honestly out of touch Lane Kiffin was. Urban was livid. He's like blowing the kid up because the kid's been committed to Florida forever. Blowing the kid up, calling him, all this shit. The kid ends up sticking with his decommitment and commitment to Tennessee. And then at the booster function on signing day, Lane's dumbass is popping off about, well, you know, Newkeese Richardson, we're really excited to steal him away from Florida. And how about this? He was on his visit up here, and Urban Meyer committed multiple recruiting violations by calling the kid when he was on an official visit here. And that's never been a rule in college football. You can call a kid in a contact period, no matter where the fuck he is. He could be in the head coach's office. He could be visiting another campus. You could call the kid whenever you want. It was an absolute fucking, like, just a dumbass lie. Mm-hmm. And Urban was livid, contacting the SEC. I think Lane Pat had to pay a fine for disparaging another head coach publicly. And I don't know that it mattered if it was true or not, but it was like, God, if Urban hated anyone in the world for reasons other than football, it was Lane Kiffin. He could not stand that motherfucker.
So did that boil over when you guys played Alabama, like in 2014, like his hatred for him?
Honestly, I don't even know that he even recognized that Lane Kiffin was on the staff.
I just wonder, because I know Darren Lee said something to Lane after the game.
I take that back. He had some disdain for Lane Kiffin in meetings. And that's kind of why Darren told Lane Kiffin that he fucked his wife last night. I don't know if I ever told that. I know Darren didn't tell it, but oops.
Scott, thanks for the two. Federal sucks too.
I don't know what he means.
Me either. That's my guy though. Inside the end zone. All I want you guys to do is beat Michigan. Are you not a Buckeye fan inside the end zone?
Well, let me tell you something. I ain't beating Michigan. I'm just going to talk about it. So send that $2 to the Ohio State NIL fund.
As a known Zach Smith burner, what should I tweet?
So this is our guy Elks. He's been a general tier subscriber forever, and he's obviously a big fan of the show. But he's a great dude. We've got to know him really well, and he tweets a lot of positive stuff about me. But I don't direct him to. I mean, it's certainly his opinion. And all these trolls, just like, they have him flagged as like the Zach Smith burner. I'll tell you, I don't have a burner account. Mm-hmm. I have three Twitter accounts: Zone 6, Menace to Sports, and Coach Zach Smith. Oh, and Menace to Picks. I don't run. Chris runs Menace to Sports. My handicapping team runs Menace to Picks, and I run Zone 6, and we don't really even tweet on there. So I don't have a burner account. Maybe I should create one. I just don't know when I'd find the time.
No, don't have it. The thing is, like, you tweet stuff from your regular account that most people would not tweet from the regular account and save for.
Right. I don't need a burner account.
Like, exactly. You are a burner. And also the funnier part is Elks hops in spaces all the time. Like, everyone hears his voice.
They're a different person.
You just like keep somebody in your basement, and every time you want to just debunk the whole
Elks, you know. Get out of the cage, jump into space.
John, thank you for the 5. OSU covering the 39.5 this weekend, or do you think Rutgers can have a backdoor cover? Well, it depends on the backups, I think, if we get there.
I'm just telling you, I'm not betting the over. I think this is a blowout game, mm-hmm. and I don't.
You think they'll cover though?
Huh?
You think they'll cover though? That's more like than 39.5 cover. Like, will Ohio State cover?
I just don't trust backups. I'm just telling you, take the team total on Ohio State. That's my surefire bet. I'm not touching the spread. I'm not teasing it. I'm not touching the game over. I'm the only bet I'm going to make on this game. I might bet a prop or two, but the only bet I'm definitely betting is the team total for Ohio State over. That's my advice.
Heard. Menace Army since day one. Thanks, Jay, for the five. We appreciate you, King Bronco for Prez. Somebody made King Bronco a Twitter account yesterday, and they were close. But you know where they messed up? They spelled winning correctly.
That's
this
how you
is for the quarterback question. Cardell's size, Braxton's athletic ability, Dwayne's arm, JT's leadership, and Krenzel's mental ability.
Yeah, so similar to mine.
Mm-hmm. Man, I don't know. I like Justin Fields' football aptitude, or at least mental aptitude, ahead of everybody's.
Craig Krenzel was a fucking neurosurgeon. Like, he crazy brilliant genius. Yeah. I'm not saying Justin's dumb by any stretch of the imagination. I do too like that Justin Fields. Craig Krenzel was like a fucking rocket scientist.
Yeah, I guess until he takes the mental aptitude test, I got nothing for him. Because Justin recorded the highest score ever.
It's because he's white.
Yep, here we go. You know. Did I miss Bronco today? No, somebody go check on Bronco.
Yeah, Bronco's not here. APB out for Bronco.
Smoke liked your story. Shout out to you, Smoke.
Appreciate it, Smoke.
So we hate Lane too.
Oh, I know. Tennessee fans hate Lane, but they didn't hate him then.
Dude, one of the funniest things was like Blake Sims wanting to commit to Tennessee and Lane Kiffin saying he could not play quarterback. He's more of a running back. And then Lane Kiffin getting fired, ending up at Bama, and his quarterback was Blake Sims.
And being his OC.
Like, imagine walking into that room, how awkward that has to be. Oh, man. Man, this makes me sad, but why is Justin Fields so bad? I can't even comment on it, man.
I don't know. I can honestly say I haven't watched a Bears game. I know he has nothing around him, but it sounds like he's not playing well either.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jack, yes.
Go ahead.
Do you think Penn State should start Drew Aller?
Yes. I am not a fan of Sean Clifford at all. Just like I wasn't Cade McNamara. It took fucking Jim Harbaugh a year to listen to me. James Franklin needs to listen to me a lot sooner than Jim Harbaugh. You should start Drew Aller. I know Sean Clifford is your JT Barrett, but just start the young kid. He's a more talented, better passer. Just go with it.
Start him after we play you. That's what I suggest. Zach, that's out of Super Chats for the day. You guys are awesome. We'll tally this up. We really appreciate you. Obviously, all Super Chats going to the Relief Fund.
Absolutely.
Brother.
Appreciate your Super Chats. They are all going to the Hurricane Ian Relief Fund. Yesterday and today, we will announce probably, I think it takes 2 days for it to update the analytics. So Monday, we will announce the total and let you know how much we're sending to Hurricane Ian Hurricane Relief. But appreciate everybody. Go check out Patreon. Check out MyBookie. Oh, also Prize Picks. I got to shout you guys out. I got an email from Prize Picks that you guys are that ad campaign is killing it. So you guys are loving Prize Picks and the support has been outstanding. So we appreciate you. If you haven't checked out Prize Picks, go to Prize Picks, use promo code Menace. You get a deposit match. It's all fantasy plays. You just decide if these players are going to have more than 6 receptions or less than 28 fantasy points. And like all these different individual accomplishments that you can kind of put together and do more or less. And it has a great payout. So go check out Prize Picks. I appreciate you guys. Cause I got an email. They were like, wow, the Menace Army is real. And so I appreciate you guys.
Super dope. Just last little quick thing, building the perfect running back from former Ohio State running backs. I would take Eddie George's power, Trey's speed, Robert Smith's versatility of the backfield. I almost agree, but I'll go Curtis Samuel's versatility.
Yeah. If you don't lump Curtis Samuel in there, you got to take Zeke's ability,
blocking
his performance without the ball in his hands, without a doubt. That has to be that. I would agree with most of the other stuff. And then Maurice Claret needs to be in there somewhere.
Mo. All right, get us out of here, Zach.
I appreciate everybody. Menace out.